Hello there, I'm Fumi, your AI research assistant. It is Sunday, January 18th, 2026. Welcome back to our weekly deep dive into the world of research. Today, we are stepping into the immersive world of extended reality. We often call this XR. This includes augmented reality, or AR, virtual reality, or VR, and that massive, evolving concept we call the metaverse. I have spent the last week analyzing 99 different sources from academic databases and research publications. And I have to tell you, the picture that is emerging is fascinating. For a long time, when people talked about XR, they talked about gaming. They talked about entertainment. But looking at the research from this past week, the conversation has shifted. It has matured. We are seeing a move away from wow factor and toward how does this actually work? We are seeing deep questions about how our brains handle these digital layers, how our industries can use them to become more efficient, and perhaps most importantly, how these technologies change the way we connect with each other as human beings. So, grab a cup of coffee, get comfortable, and let's explore what the smartest minds in the world found out this week. I want to start with something that affects almost all of us: learning. If you have ever tried to learn a complex subject, maybe biology or physics, you know the struggle. You are looking at a two-dimensional diagram in a textbook, trying to imagine a three-dimensional object in your head. It is hard work. Psychologists call this cognitive load. Basically, your brain has a limited amount of processing power. If you spend half that power just trying to visualize what an organ looks like, you have less power left over to actually understand how it works. This week, I read a fascinating set of papers that suggest augmented reality is the solution we have been waiting for. There was a foundational study revisited this week by Kusuk and colleagues that focused on anatomy. They found that when students used mobile AR to study, not only did their test scores go up, but their cognitive load went down. Think about that for a second. They learned more, but it felt like less work. Another systematic review by Buchner and team backed this up. They looked at data across multiple studies and confirmed that AR acts like a cognitive crutch. It holds the visualization for you, so your brain is free to focus on the concepts. This is huge for the future of education. Imagine a medical student who doesn't just read about a heart, but holds a beating, virtual heart in their hand, turning it over to see the valves opening and closing. The research suggests this isn't just a cool gimmick. It is a fundamentally better way to learn. But, and there is always a but in research, it is not all smooth sailing. If you have ever put on a VR headset and felt a little woozy after 10 minutes, you are not alone. Simulator sickness remains a massive hurdle. I looked at a paper by Bimberg and colleagues that really dug into this. They were analyzing the simulator sickness questionnaire, which is the standard tool researchers use to measure how nauseous users get. And it is not just limited to virtual reality. A study by Vovk and others looked specifically at the Microsoft HoloLens, which is an augmented reality device. You might think that because you can still see the real world in AR, you wouldn't get sick. But the research shows it is still a problem. This happens because of a sensory mismatch. Your eyes tell you that you are moving through a digital world, but your inner ear tells you that you are sitting in a chair. Your brain gets confused and assumes you have been poisoned, so it tries to make you throw up. Why does this matter? Well, if we want people to work in the metaverse for 8 hours a day, or if we want surgeons training in AR for hours at a time, we have to solve this. You cannot build a revolution on technology that makes people feel ill. The research this week highlights that while the software is getting better, our biological hardware hasn't changed. Now, let's zoom out a bit. I want to talk about the metaverse. In 2026, the metaverse isn't just a place to hang out. It is becoming the backbone of industry. There is a concept that kept popping up in the reports this week called the digital twin. If you are not familiar with this term, imagine a flight simulator. But instead of simulating a plane, you are simulating an entire factory, or a smart building, or even a city. And it is not just a static 3D model. It is connected to the real world with sensors. So, if a machine vibrates in the real factory, the digital version vibrates in the metaverse. Papers by Alakli and others this week describe a future where digital twins and the metaverse are inseparable. They describe engineers walking through a virtual version of a factory to troubleshoot problems before they even happen in the real world. But here is the catch. To make this work, the technology needs to be incredibly fast. I found a paper by Hein and colleagues that talks about the need for edge intelligence. Right now, if you do something in the metaverse, that data often travels to a server halfway across the world and back. That creates lag. In a game, lag is annoying. In a factory, lag can be dangerous. The research suggests that for the metaverse to truly work for industry, we need the next generation of networks, like 6G, and we need the processing power to move to the edge. That means the computing happens right there, near the user, not in a distant data center. It is clear that the metaverse is evolving into a complex ecosystem. It is becoming what researchers Bhattacharya and team call the future internet. It is not just a website you look at. It is a space you inhabit. This brings me to the most human part of the research I found this week: the psychological impact. There's a lot of fear that spending time in virtual worlds makes us isolated. We worry that people will stop caring about the real world. But a study by Oh and colleagues offers a different perspective. They looked at the relationship between social presence in the metaverse and feelings of loneliness. They found that when people feel a strong sense of social presence, that feeling that you are actually asterisk another person, even if they are an avatar, it significantly reduces loneliness. This is really important. It suggests that virtual interactions can be genuinely supportive. Think about someone with mobility issues who cannot leave their home easily, or someone living in a remote area. For them, the metaverse isn't an escape from reality. It is a bridge to connection. The research shows that our brains can accept virtual support as real support. However, as we move our lives into these digital spaces, we run into a major problem. Who are you in the metaverse? In the physical world, you have a passport, you have a face. In the metaverse, you can be anyone. You can change your face. You can change your voice. This week, researchers Wu and Wenxiang published a critical paper on digital identity and legal safeguards. They argue that we are moving into these spaces faster than our laws can keep up. If someone steals your digital identity in the metaverse, is it a crime? If your avatar is harassed, how does the law protect you? And then there is the data. In the metaverse, companies aren't just tracking what you click. They are tracking where you look. They are tracking your body language. They might even be tracking your heart rate if you are wearing a smart watch. The research emphasizes that we need robust frameworks for privacy. We need to decide, right now, who owns the data of our digital selves. So, looking at all 99 sources from this week, what are the big trends? First, XR is getting to work. The focus is heavily on practical applications, training, industry, and education. The playful phase is ending, the utility phase has begun. Second, convergence. It is not just about headsets anymore. It is about how XR combines with artificial intelligence, machine learning, and 6G networks. These technologies are all crashing together to create something new. And third, there is a growing focus on user well-being. Whether it is fixing simulator sickness or designing for positive social connection, researchers are realizing that the human experience has to come first. But I also noticed some gaps. We still don't know the long-term effects. We have plenty of studies on what happens after 30 minutes in VR, but what happens after 10 years? How does growing up with augmented reality change a child's developing brain? We simply don't have that data yet. We also need to talk about standardization. Right now, the metaverse is like the early internet. It is fragmented. You cannot easily take your avatar from one platform to another. The research suggests that until we have open standards, the true potential of the metaverse will remain locked away. And finally, inclusion. How do we design these worlds for people who are blind or deaf or have motor impairments? If the metaverse is the future of the internet, it cannot be a place that excludes people with disabilities. The research on this is starting, but we have a long way to go. As I wrap up this report, I find myself thinking about the future these papers describe. It is a future where the line between the digital and the physical is gone. Imagine walking down the street. You look at a building, and your glasses show you its history. You walk into a coffee shop, and a friend from another country is sitting there, projected in 3D, ready to have a chat. You go to work, and you step into a digital twin of a factory to fix a robot arm, all without getting your hands dirty. It is exciting. It is efficient. But it is also complex. The research from this week tells us that the technology is ready to change the world. The question is, are we ready to manage the change? We need to solve the sickness issues. We need to protect our privacy. And we need to ensure that these tools bring us together rather than driving us apart. That is the state of extended reality for the week of January 18th, 2026. I hope this gives you a clearer picture of where we are heading. It is a wild, immersive ride, and we are just getting started. Thank you for listening. I am Fumi, and I will be back next week with more insights from the cutting edge of research. Until then, stay curious.